Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Snowed where?
Here's John Williams.
Hawaii. Hi. It's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Imagine that. You leave the snow of Chicago, you go to Hawaii, and Lord have mercy, it snowed there, too. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio till 3 on Saturdays. We're here from 10 to noon.
I heard that as of this week, 1 out of 3 Americans are now running for president, or mayor, or are blogging or podcasting about politics. It's a little overwhelming.
She's got politosis, and she's not alone. Americans are getting tired of all this political talk.
My friends promised not to talk about the president around me.
Maybe a good idea.
That was 2 years ago. I haven't seen them since.
Maybe they should take Eurelium Life 9000, too.
Eurelium? What's Eurelium?
Eurelium Life 9000 is an all-natural wonder drug handcrafted by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing lab coats in New Jersey.
Will it cure my rash?
It will.
I'm having trouble sleeping, too.
That sounds like politosis.
I've got headaches, stomach aches, and stress.
Try Eurelium Life 9000 as a pill, gel cap, capsule, eye drop, nasal mist, ear burst, time-release arm patch, ointment, suppository, cream, tonic, chewable briquette, now featuring Himalayan salt, or inject Eurelium using our home epidural kit.
Are there any side effects?
There are.
I'll engage in some lengthy activity over here while you list them.
Don't take Eurelium Life 9000 if you're allergic to Eurelium Life 9000. Some patients have reported dizziness, fatigue, and a woman in Kansas took Eurelium and now barks like a dog. Instances of tendinitis and spontaneous human combustion have also been reported.
Does it come in a cherry-flavored lozenge?
It does.
Then I'm in. And get me a gift pack for my friends.
Used to eat those cherry-flavored cough lozenges like candy. Ooh, if you have Eurelium Life 9000 as a cherry-flavored lozenge, I'm in. As opposed to the chewable briquette or the home epidural kit.
Back before Halls, there was just Ludens or Luddens.
Yeah, Luddens.
Those cherry-flavored
ones. I love those things. When we used to get, you know, enough money to buy some candy and you had a candy bar or a package of those cherry cough drops in your hand, I would get the cherry cough drops.
Because it makes you better, too.
I know. That's what I thought. It's a win-win. I get candy, and it seems to be a health thing. So it was like medicine. It was good.
I remember seeing my dad's vitamin C orange-flavored gummies.
Yeah.
And my sister and I would just go to town on those things. And my dad never caught us.
Speaking of politics, though, I just want to mention this one story. We won't talk a lot of politics today, but it does seem to be everywhere, right? Hence the Eurelium Life 9000. Department store giant Bloomingdale's has apologized after a customer flagged a fake news T-shirt in one of its stores. Did you see this? They've got, you know, T-shirts, and sometimes they say trendy or cool things in a sort of distressed fashion on them. And so here's a T-shirt you can wear, and it simply is emblazoned with the words on the chest, fake news. Thank you for bringing this to our attention, and we apologize for any offense we may have caused, the company said in a statement posted to Twitter.
Who was offended? I mean,
we take this feedback very seriously and are working quickly to remove this T-shirt. Again, thank you for taking the time to alert us.
Who alerted them?
Somebody saw it and said, hey, Bloomingdale's, I'm offended by this. And by the way, some people are offended because they think it further legitimizes fake news or trivializes real news when people are walking around with shirts saying there's fake news. I get that. I mean, put it this way.
Well, I'm sure Bloomingdale's just didn't want anything to do with anything.
Right. Well,
I get that.
They don't need that. And by the way, so maybe you're a MAGA hat person and you think that would be fun and funny and remind people that the president is the victim of fake news. I wouldn't wear it, though, because I think it just furthers the myth. I work at a news talk station. Why would I wear that? I can't see this one straight. But I certainly understand why Bloomingdale's is going to take that thing down. I mean, there's an audience for that. Don't get me wrong. go to Donald Trump's campaign site. The merch they sell there is insane. I mean, it's just very popular, and there's a lot of it. Donald Trump's reelection campaign fund is over $100 million. Doesn't that sound like a lot of money to you? But that's what he's got already, $100 million. I don't think the money from this goes to Donald Trump. It's somebody just making a nickel, but I wouldn't put that in my store just because I don't need the headache. Like, if Donald Trump had a 95% approval rating, sure, I'd put it on there. I'll bet there were Hope and Change shirts when Barack Obama was president, and maybe they felt more comfortable with that. But people are so polarized on this, I wouldn't touch it. Wouldn't touch it.
I really thought it was just Bloomingdale's ridiculing Trump.
Trump, because, yeah, fake news, wink, wink.
Hyperbole.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. What was that? Didn't they had a right across from Trump Tower on the river in downtown Chicago, there was an art display, and it was just block letters, metal block letters, two words, one stacked on the other, fake and news. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And, okay, what's that all about? Well, they say, well, it's a commentary on the current, blah, blah, blah. Maybe it's public art that has a place. But I think it's a kind of messaging that the city didn't need to be involved in. And then when I asked them, I forget exactly who I had a conversation with, but it was somebody who was in the know. And I said, well, did you guys put that right across the river in front of Trump Tower for a reason? And they kind of looked to the left and then looked to the right and then looked at me and said, oh, no, that's just a coincidence that it's there. But I think I got the message. So that was the city sort of pushing back. You know, the Amara Anya story is kind of interesting, too. Speaking of things where you just got to go, okay, wait a minute. Let's look past the headline and get a little perspective here. Amara's running for mayor. Very popular candidate, at least out of the gate she was. Chance the Rapper gave her a bunch of money. Was supposed to show up at one of her events the other day and then for some reason did not. Amara's actually run into some trouble paying her bills and taxes and stuff like that over the years, and we're discovering that. So while she's a popular and interesting candidate, she sure isn't a perfect one. And now there's the story that she may have exaggerated her Iron Man credentials. I mean, who doesn't want a smart lawyer with new ideas who runs those Iron Man things where you swim and bicycle and run a marathon? It's just crazy. That's what I want.
What are they questioning?
Here we go. I thought of you when I read this story. Okay, here's Ryan Smith in the Chicago Sun Crimes. Mayoral candidate Amara Anya, that's how I pronounce her name. I don't think everybody does it the way I do.
I think Anya is what I...
Yeah, because I do it wrong. Anya, E-N-Y-I-A, pushed back on a report that she exaggerated her competitive running resume, calling it a ridiculous technicality that goes to a level of nuance that lay people don't care about. Well, we'll be the judges of that, Ms. Anya. Let's find out. On Monday morning, Derek Murphy, dubbed the Marathon Gumshoe by ESPN, posted an article on his website, Marathon Investigation, that accused Anya of never completing an Ironman-branded event or a full-scale 140.6-mile triathlon, the distance of a long-distance Ironman race. The website is currently disabled due to a technicality. Citing her history on Athlinks, a social networking website aimed at competitive endurance athletes, the story claims Anya has only run the Rev 3 Wisconsin Dell 70.3-mile triathlon in 2012, placing 114th out of 120 female contestants, and has only completed two mini triathlons in 2010. So she did a 70.3 event, but not a 140.6-mile triathlon.
Boo, just a half Ironman.
And so while she lists herself in her bio as an Ironman competitor and marathoner, technically, she's not. Now, you and I need to figure out how important that is.
Okay, I'm going to go, like, full runner status here. You can't say that you are one if you haven't done one.
Okay, and I'm going to say, as a non-Ironman status person, I think she gets to have that on her resume.
Like, what else?
How I else do not cry fraud.
How else would you say it? I mean,
Jen?
She's a triathlete.
Or half Ironman?
She could say half Ironman, yeah. And like that whole branding of the actual Iron Man brand is kind of silly in itself. It's they decided that they were going to brand the distance, and it was called an Iron Man, so 140.6 miles. But yeah, a half Iron Man, that's incredibly impressive, and I'm sure that there's like 0.002% of the population that's actually attempted one. So
she told the Sun-Times that the Marathon Investigation article was too focused on whether her races were part of the Iron Man brand. You know, they ran this event in Wisconsin. It was 73.3 miles, and she did the whole thing. And so is or isn't the Iron Man brand? Who cares? I mean, what do you know about her that she's an endurance athlete?
How about the guy who's, what is he, the marathon detective or something?
Yeah, the
Marathon Gumshoe.
Investigations.
What is that all about?
Unfortunate job that would be.
It's a very controversial website. This guy seeks out people to destroy their reputation based on races. And if they've completed them, or, you know, like if it looks fishy, or if their bib numbers don't match, it's something that's super controversial in the running community.
People, well, if he's getting people for cheating in a marathon or having somebody else run for them.
Yeah.
Okay,
now, there
fine.
Was something with Boston where people like grabbed bibs off of Instagram and printed them out. And there was like five people with the same bib number. And so, you know, he was putting that out there, which is definitely legit. And this is
if you care. I mean, that's a funny calling, isn't it?
Well, I mean, after Boston got bombed in the marathon, it's kind of important whether or not.
Okay, if you're a legitimate runner or not. But I got the feeling that he was just more busting people because they are misrepresenting themselves as marathon runners when maybe they are or not. If a candidate is misrepresenting their military record, I think that's relevant.
Yeah, that's
that's votable. And it's also a kind of psychological thing that worries me, right? Like if you said you served in the military and you did not, or you're a gold, you know, you have a certain star or heart and you don't, I think that's a level of dishonesty or insecurity that's troubling. But if you ran 70 miles and not 140 miles, they called it an Ironman, but they shouldn't have called. Stop. Amara, you suffer no loss in my book on this. The other stuff I care about. This one I do not.
I have something a little off topic to tell you right now. We're looking out our window in Northbound Lakeshore Drive. There's cars moving on.
Holy cow! Woohoo!
Oh, so we'll get an official statement from CDOT. Oh, actually, they just sent one. Update on Northbound Lakeshore Drive. All lanes are now reopened on Northbound Lakeshore Drive.
I can see the duct tape on the northbound bridge from here.
You know, I saw that little cone when I was passing it in the other direction today, and I'm like, it's so cute.
The cone where they said, watch out, this is where the beam is broken?
Yeah, the one little cone all by itself.
Okay, well, I trust they know what they're talking about, but that looked harrowing when we all saw the pictures and videos of the beam under the Monroe Street, under, what is it?
It's between, like, Randolph and Wacker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My Facebook post today is asking you to tell me who you think I should vote for president. Mayor. And there's some context to that question. I'll get to that in just a minute. By the way, we also have commercials on this radio station for Willie Wilson. And every time I hear them, I just go, oh, bless his heart. they almost stand out. They're so low production. You know, it's just a guy talking to you.
Yeah, but it's about an idea, right? Which is I like. It's about the police superintendent. He was here a couple weeks ago, and I was just talking to him in the green room, and he's like, yeah, I got to start advertising. I said, you should advertise on the station. He goes, okay. So then I just started walking around the sales department to find a salesperson for him to talk to.
Yeah.
That's the bare minimum organization sort of thing he runs.
And I kind of like that about him.
Yeah.
And then he wrote a check. And you're hearing the commercials. You should get the commission on that, Steve.
No, yeah.
But you do hear his spots. Tonight, after a viewer called for help, Joe Donlan started digging. And discovered why some abandoned homes sit empty for years. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9. If you need new windows or doors for your home, call the company recommended by Lou Manfredini of House Smarts Radio. Call Gilkey Windows. Gilkey manufactures the highest quality vinyl and fiberglass windows in an endless variety of styles and colors. Call Gilkey now. For a limited time, you'll get $100 off. I'm sorry, $1,000 off fiberglass or vinyl vinyl windows and doors when you buy five or more, and $700 off patio doors, plus no interest financing for 12 months. Call Gilkey, 888-3-GILKEY, 888-3-GILKEY. I was at a friend's birthday party in Joliet, and all of those people out there in Will and Grundy counties were asking me, who are you going to vote for mayor, John? And I said, well, what do you guys think? And the point is, they knew the candidates, they knew the issues. Some they liked, some they were disappointed in. I was the same way. But it's just interesting how people who don't get to vote for mayor in Chicago do seem to have some skin in the game. And we all do. That's why on Facebook, I'm WGN King John on Facebook. I said, okay, what's your thought? Who should a Chicagoan vote for and why? And we're getting a big response. And many of you are saying Lori Lightfoot. Patty Vasquez called in. You'll hear her pretty late on WGN. Hey, Patty, it's John. How are you?
I'm good. I'm mostly calling in because I want to get off the streets right now. I'm slaloming. It's basically a slalom ride down Irving Park Road with all the plot holes. So this is really more of a safety break for me.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for calling in. Wait a minute. Am I saying Amara's name wrong?
You know, it's funny because then I started doubting myself. I texted your producer, Ellis. Because I moderated a mayoral forum in November or in December, and I was given the phonetic spelling of I-N-Y-A, so Inya. And then I was listening to you, and I was like, maybe it is Enya. And then you said Anya, and I'm like, well, one of those has to be right. I kind of like the variation that you used.
Or Inya, but it's Amar. Inya. Amara's definitely the first name, and then the last name. I'm going to go with you, Patty, because you know city politics and state politics as well as anybody here. Amara.
Inya.
Enya, as in enter the room, Enya.
Right. See, we're both kind of fudging it a little bit because it's spelled E-N-Y-A, and that's fine. I think she's really laid back and chill about it. I think that she appreciates that we want to know how to pronounce her name.
And the quote-unquote controversy about whether or not her Iron Man credentials are legit, your thoughts are?
Oh, more power to her if she can do all that. If it's not under the branding of the Iron Man, I guess, you know, she did the essentials of the Iron Man. I don't know. That seems like nitpicking. You know, I get it sometimes when we talk about people fudging their resumes when it comes to jobs in the military, but this one seems like a stretch, doesn't it?
I'm with you, Patty Vasquez. Are you going to join us for the Mincing Rascals this week?
I will be there on Thursday.
We'll talk to you then, my friend. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, now I have to go back to the streets? All right. I'll drive around these potholes. Thanks.
There goes Patty Vasquez. Steve Bertrand's in the WGN Radio Newsroom. The Mincing Rascals is a podcast we record here. Best in the city, said somebody else. Patty will join us on Thursday. We'll drop it Thursday around 5. This is John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We started the show playing that Eurelium Life 9000 commercial for people who are tired of too much politics. And then I dove right into the story out of Bloomingdale's where they are pulling the shirt that says fake news. They have a sort of ironic T-shirt you can wear under another shirt or however you wear your T-shirts. And this one says fake news. Somebody pointed out to the corporation that the stores are selling that, like they don't know their merchandise. And the company said, oh, yeah, that's a bad idea. And they're pulling it because, well, I'll let them fill in the blanks. Among the techs, why did Bloomingdale put it up? It's something they'll have to answer. 847 says they should sell a T-shirt that says fake president. 815 said that's ridiculous about the T-shirt. Seems like a missed opportunity. They should put one up that says make news. 847 said we have entered the bashing age. I've noticed a movement from local to national figures to dig deep to find something, anything that will besmirch people in the spotlight.
Yep.
Amen to that, said Joe Ricketts. Now, who is the one who what was the story late last week?
The scandal de Thursday?
It was 1974 when
Bill Daley
oh, right. did not pass his insurance exam.
Well, he did pass, technically.
And yeah, but somebody else answered a lot of the questions for him. And here's the thing. When I first, Bill Daley shouldn't have done that. And you all can decide how important that is or not, right? Cheating on the license exam for operating an insurance business in the state of Illinois. But that's not news. I mean, that was thoroughly covered back then. And you and I don't remember that. Maybe we never knew that. So perhaps the Tribune's doing us all a favor by reminding us of that.
Yeah, I think that's legitimate.
I think it's legitimate information. But okay, so if that's the thing, then are they doing that to the other 12 candidates that are running? They're not.
Well,
Amara may disagree right now. Right. But I mean, okay, fair enough. But then, so are the Amara and Bill Daley stories, albeit them not the same, is that a service? Is that a real service? Or should we focus more on what you're doing now?
Shouldn't we be focusing on how far people can bounce back from their indiscretions and how their character can change over time?
Well, that's the point, though. I mean, not to disparage Bill Daley's candidacy, but one of the things he has to overcome is the fact that he's a Daley and that he, you know, lived in political privilege.
And that he's running on a campaign to sort of, you know, remove all of the insider power.
Now, he's a man of great accomplishment.
He is.
You know, in the banking industry, he was a White House chief of staff, commerce secretary. So he's a man of great credentials. But one of the things, you know, that one of the knocks on him that he has to overcome with voters is that Daley privilege. And this is an example of that. And that's why it's I don't think it's an unfair story.
I suppose. But I guess it's incumbent upon all of us to keep perspective in mind then.
Right. Well, absolutely.
But the Tribune did not begin the story. Bill Daley, former chief of staff, former commerce secretary, former all that stuff, 40 years ago, may have cheated on his insurance exam. They didn't do that because they don't feel that because that's not their responsibility either. But I'm just wondering.
I think voters have to carry a little water here.
I guess. Yeah, that's well put, Steve Bertrand. Okay, so as you read that story and go, gee, Amara, that wasn't a real Iron Man. You only did 70.3 miles.
Which is more than I've done in my life.
Which, you know, I'm proud of myself when I look at my Fitbit and I go, wow, I walked to the train today. That was 0.8.
I didn't put mine on this. I'm like, what's the point anymore?
You know, it's funny because I don't have a Fitbit, but on my iPhone, it has that little health app, mm-hmm. and it functions that way. So every now and then I'll look at it. And it has me walking like 8 and 10 miles a day. And I know that's not true, but I like it. It feels good. I look at that and go, maybe I did walk 8 miles and I'm not aware of it. Because I am busy in the office.
You don't have it set to kilometers, do you?
I know. I thought, is it kilometers or does it think my legs are shorter than they really are or longer? I don't know what the measurement is.
Can I just chime in with this one point? Why don't we just put away our gadgets and know what's healthy for us?
Right, and just walk because it's healthy.
Yeah.
Which is what we used to do.
You know when you've walked enough.
I want somebody to say, good job. I want my phone to say, good job, John.
Okay, well, obviously you can't do that for yourself.
So. And actually, I'm being sarcastic there, but that's, I think, what it is. People love the affirmation.
Oh, come on. I think it's great. I mean, it's great to chart it and to have a goal and to, you know, to build on it.
So if you are at 2 miles and you wanted to get to 2.5, maybe you would walk a little bit more.
Exactly.
That would be the motivation.
You want to up it to 3 or 8 to 10, apparently.
What looks cool to me
run for office.
Orange Theory looks cool to me.
Orange Theory?
Yeah.
There's one near us, and for a month I thought it was Orange Julius.
Oh, that's
and I was
going
to go in there and ask for one of those Slurpees.
You would have been so disappointed.
I know.
We
got a what?
You can burn off some Slurpees, if you had any already.
Here, orange, have a heart rate monitor.
The orange theory is that you get to the red zone, back it off from the red zone into the orange zone. That's where you're maximizing your calorie consumption. And if you work there for 30 or 40 minutes, that'll be all you need, right?
Yeah, I think it's a little different. I mean, it's more unique than counting steps, because we've seen that for a long time. So I think that's what appeals to me more than the steps.
If let's just go back for a minute, though, to sort of keeping in perspective the accomplishments and the not accomplishments of people. So Bill Daley did or didn't cheat on his insurance test 40 years ago. And maybe like Jen says, since then, he's proven himself to be a capable person. I wonder what that says about Elizabeth Warren. You know, she's had to apologize for saying that she was a member of the Cherokee tribe when the tribes are the ones that assign nationality status. And even if you're DNA test says that, yes, you have Native American blood in you. You don't get to proclaim yourself a Cherokee. They do. And she was red-faced about that last week when they called her out on it. By the way, when she went to Harvard and when she applied for one of her jobs, on her application, she listed herself as white female. She didn't use her Indian nation status to leapfrog in front of somebody by claiming that she was a minority. All of that aside, you know, I think it's an interesting question to wonder how much do we make out of that, particularly since the president is using that as a great talking point to diminish her credentials. Why she claims that she's this and she's not that, and then he uses disparaging language. You know what I found myself reading last night? I'll get done with this aside in just a minute, but two long stories about the Trail of Tears and Wounded Knee, and about the suffering that Native Americans had to endure at the hands of white Americans, right? And it just breaks your heart. The president did us, if nothing else, that favor of reminding us to at least know that story, so that when he does mock her for walking on the trail, capital letters trail, wink, wink, or when he calls her Pocahontas, at least we know a little bit about what he's referring to, even if he doesn't. Somebody on Fox News said the president doesn't know what this means, and that was in defense of him. As though he's actually trying to be that mean. No, he's not being that mean, because he doesn't even know the Trail of Tears story. You can't criticize him for that. Swear to God, straight face, that was their defense. McDonald's adding donut sticks to breakfast menu. Oh, good, now we're talking about that. So I was at Burger King the other day, and they have something called funnel cake fries. And while maybe it's not the best idea if you're conscious of your health to go to Burger King anyway, I was running some errands. I was hungry for lunch. I hadn't done this in forever. I thought, I'm going to go get a Burger King. And as I was standing there, I saw on the menu, funnel cake fries. And I just wept a little for us. But then I see the story that McDonald's now has donut sticks and that Dunkin' Donuts has donut fries. And I think that's just so heartbreakingly unhealthy.
But this is America.
Should not have that on our menu. Those words should not be together.
I'm going to give you a really bad example. This is when I was in Epcot down at Walt Disney World a month ago. And, you know, the World Showcase, where you can get different types of food from all around the world, or, you know, what apparently they would serve. The American Pavilion had pumpkin spice funnel cakes.
Pumpkin spice. Okay. Pumpkin spice funnel cakes.
Because that is America.
So what were the other foods that represented us? I presume hamburgers and
hamburgers
hot dogs.
Hamburgers and hot dogs. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. There might have been donuts and stuff, too. But, you know, we were like, we can get this at home anytime at the Burger King. Let's just pass
it. In late January, Burger King brought back funnel cake fries. Brought them back. They originally sold them in 2009. People wanted them. French fries are a bad idea, but then to make them out of donuts, it's just a double bad idea. And Dunkin' Donuts introducing donut fries, and McDonald's thinking, okay, those people are just killing their customers. We need to get in that game too. So they now have donut sticks. I know it's on the breakfast menu, and I know it's really no different than my stopping on Saturday off at the Dunkin' Donuts and getting donuts and bringing them to work. And then we have donuts and coffee. At McDonald's, you'll do that, but they're in the shape of thick fries. There's something about that, though, that just is so unappealing to me. Here's what it does. It reinforces in my mind what a bad choice this is. Like, a donut's a donut. It's not a fry. A fry, in my mind, is a bad thing. A donut is a bad thing, even though I enjoy them both. But when you combine those concepts, in McDonald's mind, it's a win-win. And to me, it's like a double lose. Now you've just talked me out of it, as opposed to into it. I guess that's the difference between me and the customer they're going after. There is a story we'll talk about in the 2 o'clock hour, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but I really want you to listen at 2:35. At 2:35, we'll talk about the story out of the airline industry. Lufthansa is suing at least one passenger, but maybe more, who will book a flight with a stop in between the two destinations and then get off at that middle spot because that's where they wanted to go originally. Why would you do that? Because sometimes when you do that, you get a cheaper rate. If you're going from Chicago to, say, San Francisco, fly direct, it's expensive. But if you stop in St. Louis and then go on to San Francisco. It's cheaper. What if you only wanted to go to St. Louis and that was a cheaper way to get to St. Louis? You're not supposed to do that. It violates the terms of the ticket. That's a contract.
Remember when you could give your return ticket to someone else?
I think you should.
Well, I mean, it was back before all the security stuff, but the...
Oh, imagine that, yeah.
They're just paper tickets. It's like, yeah, I'll fly to Florida. You can fly back on this ticket, or you turn in tickets that you didn't use and other people would use them.
If you transfer a ticket to somebody else now, legitimately, electronically, with their permission, you pay a fee for that too, right?
Yeah, well, we do it. If, you know, if I have to change someone's passport name on a trip or something, sometimes they'll waive the fee. Other times it's $150, $300.
That's crazy to me because there's no... Not only am I doing the work...
Sometimes it's four keystrokes, John.
It's not that much effort, but they gotcha, don't they? 269 just texted, I read, bury my heart at wounded knee when I was 27 years old. Shame on the president for his ignorance on this story. 847, we can be whatever we want to be now. Elizabeth Warren can definitely identify as Native American if she feels like it.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Oh, that...
Here's John Williams.
The hosts were steady. It's 209, we're in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here weekdays till 3. Saturdays, we're here till noon. That would be 10 a.m. until noon. And remember, on social media, look for me in this show, WGN King John.
I heard that as of this week, one out of three Americans are now running for president or mayor or are blogging or podcasting about politics. It's a little overwhelming.
She's got politosis, and she's not alone. Americans are getting tired of all this political talk.
My friends promised not to talk about the president around me.
Maybe a good idea.
That was 2 years ago. I haven't seen them since.
Maybe they should take Eurelium Life 9000, too.
Eurelium? What's Eurelium?
Eurelium Life 9000 is an all-natural wonder drug handcrafted by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing lab coats in New Jersey.
Will it cure my rash?
It will.
I'm having trouble sleeping, too.
That sounds like politosis.
I've got headaches, stomach aches, and stress.
Try Eurelium Life 9000 as a pill, gel cap, capsule, eye drop, nasal mist, ear burst, time-release arm patch, ointment, suppository, cream, tonic, chewable briquette, now featuring Himalayan salt, or inject Eurelium using our home epidural kit.
Are there any side effects?
There are.
I'll engage in some lengthy activity over here while you list them.
Don't take Eurelium Life 9000 if you're allergic to Eurelium Life 9000. Some patients have reported dizziness, fatigue, and a woman in Kansas took Eurelium and now barks like a dog. Instances of tendinitis and spontaneous human combustion have also been reported.
Does it come in a cherry-flavored lozenge?
It does.
Then I'm in. And get me a gift pack for my friends.
Pick up Eurelium Life 9000 wherever you... See Eurelium Life 9000. Pete McMurray is in our studio. Hi,
I'll
Mr. McMurray.
I'll take the nasal mist.
I go with the air burst when I get my choice. When I'm at the Walgreens and they have the full Eurelium complement there, I always go with the air burst.
It's nice. Nice.
What are you doing in the studio?
John, I am dancing with a Chicago celebrity. I'm in the competition.
Pete McMurray of WGN Radio fame is now going to be a dance fame person.
I'm a dancer, John.
You are not.
I am. Almost.
Seriously, have you... I danced in this competition before.
Right.
Last year.
Yes.
I believe it was the year before that or two. Lou Manfredini did. Lou said, John, you should do it. And I was glad to hear that you sort of took up the gauntlet
for us. You're encouraging me, yes.
So do you and your wife dance? Do you know how to ballroom dance?
I don't. No. I'm learning.
So that thing about I'm a dancer, John...
Well, I'm learning to dance. I'm almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you learned about ballroom dancing and your ability now that you're doing it?
What I've learned is if you don't practice every day, you forget the moves.
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously,
yeah,
you have to practice every single day.
Is it also interesting to you the disconnect between the sort of the intellectual, my foot goes here, my body goes there, you just saw it and said, okay, I'll do that, and then you try and do it and it doesn't happen? It's so weird.
Well, you, my instructor is Danny Atkins over at Lakeview Arthur Murray, and you've had her. She was your dance partner.
She was.
I take a video of her during the moves.
I do that too.
And I watch the video over and over, and then I play
too.
It in slow motion.
Yeah, yeah.
And still, I can't get it. I'm trying to.
Danny Atkins is on line 7. Hi, Danny. It's John with Pete. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing so well. How are you?
So Danny Atkins is on the phone with the Chicago Celebrities, Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities. You can check her out over at the Arthur Murray Dance Studio in Lakeview. And I'm doing well, Danny. I miss you.
I miss you too, John. It has been way too long. Oh, my goodness. Are you still busting out your moves every once in a while?
I do. Because Pete said you forget him, but you and I did it so many times, and then I continue to do it afterwards that every now and then when I'm walking down the hall, I will throw my arms up, and then I'll go forward and over and back, and I'll do the whole thing, and I can do a lot of it just by muscle memory now.
We worked hard on that, didn't we?
But it's not to say that it's so funny though, Danny, right? Because the last time I saw you was about a year ago at the competition, and when I watched the video back after we danced, people are saying, oh, you did it. It was great. And I watched the video. I knew it as he was doing it. I was missing steps along the way. Because, you know, Pete, it happens in real time. Yeah. It all goes so fast. You don't get a do-over.
The music's playing.
And it's like, boy, you better deliver. And I want that dance back, Danny. I want to try it one more time with you.
I would love that, John. Oh, my gosh. That'd be so fantastic. But you know what's really funny is that no performance is ever 110%. So you just have to bring it every single time with your best shot. And I think you did a great job last year.
What kind of dance are you and Pete working on?
Well, we are working on the tango. So it's very dramatic, very cool.
When you rate dances in the ballroom category, where does the tango fit from easy to hard?
Well, it depends on what version of tango you're talking about, John. I mean, you know that I wasn't very easy on you on a quick step last year. So a lot of it's the choreography. A lot of it's just the interpretation. I think that ours is pretty moderate, but definitely high level as far as the performance aspect is concerned.
Yeah.
Very demanding that way.
John, all they talk about is you.
No, they don't.
Yes. Danny, how many times do you bring up John Williams a night every time we practice?
I talk about him all the time, John. I do. I really do.
I swear to God. And they put your video on like the third time I walked in. I'm like, really?
I learned so much about things other than dance. And this is the truth. And you will, too. If you go to Arthur Murray and you learn to dance, you will learn about confidence. You will learn about stop kicking yourself and just do the best you can and be happy about that.
Right.
And you'll learn fluidity. You'll learn to move your body. I mean, and it's healthy. You feel good when you dance.
And it's all about attitude, too.
Well, that's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yes, it's about attitude.
But I was going to say something about, the tango. Back to the tango.
Yeah.
Danny, the waltz would be a very easy dance for a novice to learn, right?
I think the waltz is definitely one of the fundamentals. It's definitely something that when most people come in for the first time, they'll learn some version of the waltz or the rumba.
Right.
So, yeah, for sure.
And then maybe the foxtrot is a little more involved, and you work your way up. And then I was under the impression that the dance you guys are doing is hard. And it's dramatic.
It's very dramatic. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all, Danny told me, besides the attitude, it's all about the costume and the production. It seems like dancing's down the list, like fourth or fifth, what they're judging. They're judging with attitude. They're judging your facial expressions, your costume.
It's a dramatic performance in a way, isn't it?
It is. Now, Danny, do you want to tell them the song and my character?
Yes. So John, he came in and he had already an idea of how he would like to do some tango.
I'm shocked to hear this. Go ahead.
I told her I wanted to dance like Al Pacino instead of a woman.
Yes, okay. And I told him that we'll do even better than that. So we are dancing to the James Bond theme, and he's going to be James Bond.
We win right there, John. We win right there. I haven't even started dancing and we win.
You're a handsome man. And you have charisma. You have charm.
Yes.
So I got all that.
Yeah.
But, Danny, can I just share something with you?
Yes, absolutely. Please.
So last year, Christmas time, Pete McMurray and I got the same Christmas suit.
Oh, I love this story. Okay.
It was kind of a funny outfit we bought at Target. It was a two-piece suit with
two-piece
a tie.
Suit. Yep.
And matching, it looked like Christmas wrapping paper. They sell those. They're a lot of fun to wear to parties and whatnot.
Yeah, I have one myself. Totally.
You're pulling my leg now, right?
I am. them, actually.
Well, they exist and people buy them. So Pete and I had them, and we were teasing each other about how we wore it. So we made a video of him and I walking around the radio station, and we keep bumping into each other, and we're frustrated that the other guy's got the same outfit on. Anyway, the punchline to the bit was that we then finally come to terms with it, and we start dancing together.
Oh, my goodness. And so there's, you would make the perfect dance partners.
Pete and I are dancing with this Christmas wrapping paper suit on. And I wasn't feeling it for Pete.
Well, you are a trained dancer. Now I am trained. Yeah. I'm classically trained.
What have you learned? Like, what are keys to being a good dancer, Pete McMurray?
Posture. Yeah. Head up.
Your
confidence.
Back up, looking forward.
Yes, sort of looking forward. As I said earlier, you got to practice every day or you're going to forget your moves.
I think you're going to be terrific because I really sense in you a commitment to this. You're not you can tell some people go, yeah, I'll show up. I'll do my best. I get the feeling you're really working on it.
I think I can master this dance. I really can.
Huh. How about that, Danny?
I think so. You know, I think that, like, both of you guys had such great personalities. It was so easy to figure out what to do with you guys. So I'm really, really excited about Pete carrying the torch for you guys this year. It's going to be awesome.
We got to raise money, though. I mean, this is all
that's
fun.
The
but
most
that's
important
the
part.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
How's your fundraising going?
Not bad. We need a little push.
The TV people cheat because they got a TV station.
Right,
and
they can put it on
more,
television.
They're all TV personalities, and everybody follows them, and they get high rate stakes donors to just drop $1 million on them.
Right.
How do I donate to your page?
You can go to my Facebook page, Pete McMurray, or just type in tinyurl.com/Team Pete.
Oh, really? tinyurl.com/Team Pete.
Or just go to my Facebook page. It's right on the front page.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because that's the idea, right, Danny? All kidding aside, this is a serious fundraiser. And you guys raise a ton of money for cancer research, right?
That's correct. So far, in the past 13 years, we've raised $2.5 million. And, of course, most of that has just gone directly to the cause and very little admin costs or anything like that. So it's been really exciting. We are very proud of this effort.
Yeah. The dance competition, you can come and watch as well. You don't have to be a participant or connected to the participants. You can just go to the event, right?
You can. Yeah. Friday, March 8th at the Hyatt on Wacker.
Who are some of the other celebrities that are in it this year?
Erica, the main anchor at Channel 2. I can't remember her last name. Jason McKee, former Chicago Bear. Who else is in the competition? A guy from Fox, a guy from ABC. You know, I'm not looking at names. I'm just focusing on myself, John.
I was in the... So last year, I'm so diligently working on and trying to do my... Not Foxtrot. What was the dance we did? The Quick Step. Well, at the competition, one of the guys, a former athlete, Chicago Bear, he's got... Do you remember this, Danny? What was he doing? Was it a Michael Jackson song or something?
Oh, no.
He just kind of strikes a pose, rips off his T-shirt.
Yeah.
He's just glistening underneath, nothing but rippled real estate.
It's true. It made him win. Like, it was just like, boom.
And he won.
Yep.
I'm not bitter about that, Danny. It's not like I carry that around like some sort of albatross, but dang.
I'm sure not.
No. Did you get second place? Did they announce second place?
They announced, I think, a second place, and it was not me.
Oh, shoot.
And I really did want to see the ballots on that because I know Danny was good, and I it was a really cute, choreographed, busy dance.
You're too hard on yourself.
He killed it last year, Pete. He was, did he tell you what he did?
No, he didn't tell me anything.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, John, tell him what you did. It was so good.
I won't, but it was busy. I mean, we covered the whole dance floor. We were all around. And at one point, I grab her by the waist, take her in the air and spin her, and she does a spin.
Right, right.
I'll tell you what, if you Google just video John Williams dancing with the celebrities, the video is there.
I saw part of it at Arthur Murray.
All right, so we're out of time. Danny, congratulations on your continued success over there. I don't know what folks are doing for Valentine's Day, but I think a great gift is dance lessons for
I agree. It's so much
for
fun.
That other person in your life. And make a point to check out on March 8th, the Dancing with the Chicago celebrities. Hey, it's a fundraiser. Check out Pete McMurray on Facebook.
Right.
And donate to his page as I did.
Thank you very much.
And I encourage you all to do the same. Danny, my best to you. I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much, John.
That's Danny Atkins over at Arthur Murray. and famous dancer Pete McMurray.
Thank you for that.
You also hear...
Thank you. Famous dancer.
Here at yeah. WGN Radio. Nice to see you, Pete.
Good to see you. Thanks, John.
I was just chuckling because that Ilhan Omar, the Muslim congresswoman from Minnesota who has made disparaging remarks, maybe... about Jews and has now apologized for it. That's been a news story for the last day or so. The president has just called for her resignation. I think I'm reading that correctly. I saw the scroll on CNN. Is
yeah,
he calling for her to resign?
Case. Yeah.
He's calling for her to resign because she said something that was inappropriate. I'll just pause while you enjoy the irony of all of that. I don't believe that she is going to. The president, this is just another one of those things to put into the does it matter or not category. We'll start with cut number, let's see, which one are we going to do first, Elif? I guess finish the wall. Trump, Texas rally won. This is the president last night in Texas.
You really mean finish that wall because we built a lot of it. Finish that wall.
The crowd burst into their usual spontaneous build that wall, but they had posted there, did you notice, finish the wall signs, finish the wall. That's a marketing masterstroke, right? Because if you haven't been able to build the wall, suddenly start to say, finish the wall, and that presumes that a lot of the wall's already been built and we just need to put the cherry on top.
And then in the summer of 2020, say the wall's been completed.
Exactly.
With a few snapshots.
I know, and you don't need any evidence. The question is, will the people that are saying build the wall, build the wall, build the wall, start to chant finish the wall? Will they buy in? Are they going to say, okay, all right, the wall's been built, we just need to finish it? Because that's not what's really happened here. And in fact, the amount of wall that they're now talking about financing is 50 miles. 50. At one point, it was a couple hundred they were talking about. It's a 2,000-mile border we're talking about. And the argument was over funding for maybe 150 or 200 miles. But now I'm reading 50 miles is what we're talking about. I could see the Democrats just saying, oh, heck, have it. But they won't do that.
So wait a second. Like that $4.7 billion number or whatever was only for about 200 miles?
Yes.
Wow.
All this whole argument has been for 200 miles of reinforced fencing and wall. This government shutdown was about 200 miles of fencing and wall.
I wonder how much that Lakeshore Drive bridge costs.
I know. Really, we've got the money. We just don't have a Congress that wants to give the president what he wants. And the president so symbolically wants the wall that even though it's a couple hundred miles, you think that that was the crowning glory, that if we can just get that, we will be finished. When in my mind, that's just getting started. And this texter says from 815, John, there really is a substantial border wall in place as well as natural fencing. So to say, let's finish the wall is not so out of line. By the way, some of this border wall extension was authorized and budgeted under the Obama administration. Hey, where's Ruth Bader Ginsburg? I don't know, I wasn't looking for. Is Ruth in the news today? At least Beto did not have to bus in his people. I guess that's what they're saying. Enough about all of that. Thanks for your comments. And if you are a president supporter and sometimes you hear negative things about him on this radio show, I very much appreciate your tuning in. It's 247. This is from CNN. A method commonly used by airline passengers to get cheaper fares is at the center of a case between a German airline and one of its customers. Lufthansa has taken a passenger who did not show up for the last leg of his ticketed journey to court in an apparent bid to clamp down on what's called hidden city ticketing. The practice involves passengers leaving their journey at a layover point instead of making the final connection. For instance, someone flying from New York to San Francisco could book a cheaper trip from New York to Lake Tahoe with a layover in San Francisco and get off there without bothering to take the last leg of the flight. According to a court document, an unnamed male passenger booked a return flight from Oslo to Seattle, which had a layover in Frankfurt. So they're going from Oslo to Seattle with a layover in Frankfurt. But the passenger used all legs of the outbound flight, but did not catch the Frankfurt to Oslo return flight. Instead, he flew on a separate Lufthansa reservation from Frankfurt to Berlin. Lufthansa saw that as a violation of their terms and conditions and is seeking $2,385 in compensation. So it sounds like this person wasn't just getting off early because he really wanted to be in the middle city. He was getting off early and then booking yet another flight, but doing it that way would still be cheaper. Boy, that's a lot of work. A Berlin district court dismissed the lawsuit in December, but Lufthansa's spokesperson confirmed to CNN the company's already filed an appeal. Back in 2014, United Airlines and Orbitz filed a suit against a 22-year-old, Akhtarur Zaman, who founded the website skiplagged.com, which helps travelers find cheaper flights by using the hidden city strategy. The case was thrown out in 2015 after the judge in the Northern District Court of Illinois said the court did not have jurisdiction over the case because Zaman did not live or do business in that city. So it doesn't say what the U.S. law ultimately says about this. Have you ever tried this? And what do you think about that practice?
I didn't even know this existed until just now.
But think about it. Here's the way I imagine it. Jen, if I'm going from, say, New York to Los Angeles, that's a ticket. I could buy that and fly direct. It might be cheaper, though, to go through Atlanta, fly to Atlanta and get on a different plane and then go from Atlanta to Los Angeles. What if I only wanted to go to Atlanta to begin with? And that process I just described was cheaper than a direct flight to Atlanta. Somehow in the screwy world of aviation, that happens. So you book a flight to L.A., stopping off in Atlanta, and just get off in Atlanta because that's where you want to go. If that's cheaper, I think that's your prerogative. And then but the airline hates empty seats between Atlanta and L.A. But it's not empty. I paid for that.
But do they allow you then to resell it, like that last stretch?
No.
See, that's...
And I think, that's another question, but I think I'm okay with that too. Right? I mean, are you okay with me selling that? Going on eBay and saying, you know, if we could get through security and, you know, not put a terrorist on board or somebody who's inappropriate, but if from Atlanta then to L.A., I own that seat. From New York to Atlanta and Atlanta to L.A. I'm getting off in Atlanta. That plane's going to L.A. If I want to sell that seat, I think I don't even have any problem with my right to do that. I booked the passage. That's my passage. I know I don't own the airplane, but you get the point. I don't know. But in the meantime, they don't even want you to get off in Atlanta. They want you to go to L.A. because you said you were going to. I don't want to go to L.A. None of this would happen if airline rates made any sense anyway. How could it be cheaper for me to go to Los Angeles than for me to go to Atlanta? That makes no sense. But I've never done this. I'm pretty much happy, pretty proud of myself when I get on an airplane and it lands in the city that I intended to be in to begin with. You know, I'm not moving things around and shuffling the deck to try and get a cheaper rate or points. I'm not smart enough or disciplined enough to do any of that. But have you ever done something like that? Hey, Jim, you're on WGN Radio. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, John.
Hey.
That's been going on for years. There used to be a flight, and they cracked down on it, where you could come L.A.-Chicago through Milwaukee, and you just get off in Chicago. I'm sorry, it was L.A. to Milwaukee.
Right.
It would come through Chicago, and you just get off the plane. The drawback is you can't have any baggage.
Okay, because if you wanted to go from L.A. to Milwaukee, that's pretty expensive. L.A. to Chicago is not, because it's a hub and it's a bigger airline or airport.
It was cheaper to go L.A.-Milwaukee than it was L.A.-Chicago.
Really?
So we used to get off in Chicago when we only had, you know, carry-on.
That's weird. But I mean, yeah, if city's that close, I could see why you do that. And then you rent a car or somebody pick you up or whatever, huh?
Oh, the trip was L.A. to Milwaukee, and it came through Chicago. So we just get off in Chicago.
Yeah.
Where we wanted to go.
Oh,
and it was cheaper to book it that way.
Yeah.
That was on United years ago.
And you would do that.
Back before all the Hasp.
Yeah. I guess before 9/11. Everything after 9/11 is different, I wonder.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. I mean, do you remember going to an airport and getting on without having to take off your shoes and belts and all that stuff? I guess we used to do that. I don't even remember that.
I remember running onto a flight in Kansas City with a grip in one hand, my attaché in the other, and the ticket in my mouth, and they closed the door behind me. Came right from the car and right in.
And just ran in, and they said, hurry up, we'll hold the door, get in.
That was that. That was before 9/11.
Times have
now,
changed.
I am happy I don't travel 27 states anymore.
Appreciate you listening. Thanks for the call, Jim.
See you, John.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying how security wasn't as good at their building. And they said, you can go into they worked in a high-rise downtown Chicago. They said, you can go into our building and just, you know, if you're clever enough, you can walk right up to the elevator and hit a button and just go to any floor you want. Like, that was, you know, just crazy. And I said to the guy, I said, well, it should be that way, right? And then he looked at me, and I said, I know, but really, in a perfect world, that's not such a crazy proposition. Hey, you work on the 23rd floor. I'll go to your building, and I'll get an elevator, and I'll go up and see you. And I don't remember when all that changed, where you have to sign in, and they have to check with you, and so on and so forth. But if you want to come see us here at WGN Radio, it's a process. You ain't just catching an elevator up to 18, I promise you that.
That definitely changed after 9/11, because I remember in college, professors would say that they used to walk up to the floors to turn in resumes to companies. And when we went and tried it in like 2006, there was no way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much more complicated now. And it's a hassle, too, because if you haven't navigated in advance, right, like if the company doesn't know you're coming and you didn't go to the right desk, you might as well be a mile away. You can't get there, and they're right there. But you've got to go through this rigmarole. When I get to be king, I think we'll revisit that. Pat, you wanted to jump in here. What did you want to say? You're on the air. Hi, Pat. You're on WGN. What's up?
Hi, John. This is Kath, not Pat, but
go
that's
ahead,
okay.
Kath. Sure, you're on the air.
I work for a major airline, and we get this all the time, and the problem is, you can't check bags because your bag's going to go to your final destination.
Yeah.
And if it's an international destination, you have to have a passport at your first point of check-in. So we're getting passengers that are buying these skip legs and say Las Vegas, Dallas, Cancun. They want to get off in Dallas because they only paid $100 for the ticket, but they didn't bring a passport. So they can't use the ticket because it's first point of contact.
Right.
For international. So now they have to buy a full fare ticket.
Okay. Well, that's
to get
where
to Dallas.
I get that. And so that's an instance where it doesn't work, but where it could work, you know, like you've figured out what to do with your baggage, you're going to carry it with you, or you're not going to travel with baggage, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if it could. They're waving to me. I've got to wrap this up. Kath, thank you for the call. John, JohnnyJet.com recommends this practice. There's lots to say about this. Maybe we'll pick this up another day. Studio D, Ro and Anna are in Studio A. Hi,
hello,
guys.
Hello, John.
Hello, John. Hello. Wait, I'm looking out. I'm going to do this again. The northbound lanes are open, John.
Yay.
They're open on Lakeshore Drive.
It's so nice to once again see the cars all standing still.
Rush hour,
in both
right
directions.
Yeah.
It's nice because when it's empty in one direction, I always think it's like a disaster film, right? It's like, oh, the aliens are invading. Everybody's going in one way.
That's right. They're all getting out of town.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
It's not good.
The world is right again.
Yeah.
Traffic is at a standstill.
So El Chapo. We have an update on this because El Chapo just got convicted in New York in federal court there. But what is most fascinating is some of the testimony was Chicago-based. You know, he may also stand trial here.
Yeah.
But the guys who the main witnesses against him are two brothers from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Little village area. They flipped on him.
Right. Which means I don't know what that means. But the point is, that there's the strangest little factlet that came out in this story.
What's that?
Little factlet about the Empire Carpet Man. We'll share that with you coming up in just a few minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
Somehow he works his way into this.
He did.
Is the Luna Carpet Girl also in?
I think it's just the Empire Carpet Guy.
Okay, good.
Although the Luna one would make more sense, quite honestly, because it all has to do with the number. Are we sure that it's Empire?
It is.
It's Empire for sure. Empire. Okay.
Where was the Menards guy on the night of
Menards!
The 17th?
Yeah. Oh, that poor guy. Oh, you know what? Too soon. That man passed away years ago. Too soon.
I interviewed his son right after he died because he was such a great part of our television experience in Chicago.
Yeah.
The Menards guy. but we digress. Have a good show,
guys.
Thank you very
much, John. Appreciate it.